A turning is coming in 2029. Welcome to this audio issue of Porter's Daily Journal, published and copyrighted by Porter & Company, all rights reserved. Please note that this recording was generated via AI and may contain minor transcription errors and pronunciation mistakes. Throughout this issue, I may reference charts, graphs, and imagery that can only be viewed on our website at porterandcompanyresearch.com. Issue number 58, volume number 3. This is not a cyclical downturn. This is the final storm inside today's Daily Journal. Essay: A turning is coming in 2029. Subsidies versus competition, the strait is open. For now, US LNG's one-year outlook chart of the day. Taiwan semiconductor, today's mailbag. The stock market is in the midst of one of its most intense, fastest rallies ever. But, as you'll see below, I believe this rally is a warning, not a victory. What we're seeing in the market today is the result of an enormous, global credit inflation. Investors are panic buying, desperate to get back into financial assets that can protect them from the ongoing currency debasement. We are in the very last days of an enormous sovereign credit bubble, which has been the greatest inflationary period in the history of the world's economy. All of this will end by 2029. But, before I explain that timing, let me address this incredible rally. What's driving this rally? Inflation expectations. Assuming the market closes higher today, and it's up about 2% as I'm writing this, the market will have risen in 11 out of the last 12 trading days. That means the market for US stocks is up almost 15% in less than 2 weeks. Since 1957, there have only been three other rallies like this, an intense 10-day period, leading to a new high. Hat tip, Bespoke Research, October 1982. The clear beginning of a new bull market, with high-quality stocks trading at single-digit multiples and at the end of a long period of rising interest rates, March 2000. The final blow-off top of the greatest stock market mania the world had ever seen, to that point, November 2020. COVID vaccine announcement breakout, meaning the end of the pandemic was at hand. The first two events were normal market action. These kinds of huge, intense moves in securities prices are what you should see at the very beginning, or the very end, of long bull markets. But the COVID rally? And this one? These are the kind of panicked buying we've seen, again and again, since the US government began its massive buying of treasury obligations following the global financial crisis. What investors know is, sooner or later, the government is going to print more money and buy more bonds. That's the only way to finance this war in Iran or all the other out-of-control spending and graft. Investors have learned the best way to protect yourself is with gold and high-quality stocks. But, where will this all lead? Luckily, we don't have to guess. The fourth turning in 1991, two historians solved a seemingly impossible puzzle of history. Why does catastrophe seem to arrive on a schedule? William Strauss, a Harvard-trained lawyer, Yale playwright, and student of constitutional history, and Neil Howe, a Yale economist and demographer with a graduate degree in history, set out to map every generational cohort in the English-speaking world back to the late 15th century. They published their findings in Generations, 1991, refined them in the fourth turning, 1997, and in 2023, 8 years after Strauss' death, Howe released the definitive sequel, The Fourth Turning Is Here, confirming with forensic precision that the crisis they had forecast a quarter century earlier was now fully upon us. The central discovery is not a metaphor. It isn't a guess either. It is a real pattern, measured, replicated, and predictive. Over roughly the span of a long human life, which the Romans called a saeculum, and lasts about 85 years, Western civilizations pass through four distinct turnings. Strauss and Howe labeled each of these four distinct periods high, awakening, unraveling, and crisis. They proved that each period lasts approximately 21 years, more or less, one human generation. And they discovered that each period gives rise to a new, generational archetype, prophet, nomad, hero, artist. The cycle is driven by human nature, not technology. And human nature does not change. As each generation ages into a new stage of life, the social mood rotates in a way no policy or politician can prevent. This wheel of history cannot be stopped because the human life cycle will continue. What makes Strauss and Howe theory of history different from every other is that they made falsifiable predictions, and they were right. In 1997, writing near the zenith of the dot-com bubble, with debt to GDP low, inflation tame, and a unipolar America seemingly at the end of history, they wrote, "Sometime before the year 2025, America will pass through a great gate in history, commensurate with the American Revolution, Civil War, and twin emergencies of the Great Depression and World War II. The risk of catastrophe will be very high." They forecast a catalyst around the year 2005, plus or minus a few years, triggered by a financial or security shock, followed by a new, highly contagious virus that would force quarantines, deployment of the National Guard, and pressure to declare martial law. History delivered on schedule. The catalyst arrived in September 2008 with the collapse of Lehman Brothers. The pandemic arrived in March 2020 with COVID. The political polarization, the distrust of institutions, the rise of a strongman populist right and a violent revolutionary left, the breakdown of alliances, the shadow of civil conflict, a huge escalation of violent foreign policy actions, all of it unfolded precisely as Strauss and Howe described. No other social science framework published before 2000 has called the shape of the last 18 years with anywhere near the accuracy of the fourth turning. Bridgewater Associates founder Ray Dalio, working from an entirely different direction, a 500-year dataset of sovereign debt cycles, has arrived at the same conclusion. We are in what he calls stage 5 of the big cycle, the stage that immediately precedes breakdown, and the parallels to 1929 to 1939 are, as he says, eerie. Two of the most serious empiricists of our age, one a historian, one a hedge fund founder, studying different centuries with different tools, have reached the same verdict. This is not a prophecy. This is pattern recognition. The crisis period began in 2008, and each turning lasts around 21 years. That means 2029 will see the final climatic end of this generational crisis. Turnings are financial events, too. Unlike Strauss and Howe, I am not a social scientist. I'm a financial analyst. For three decades, I've been helping investors understand the major economic revolutions of our time, the internet revolution, the shale energy revolution, and the ongoing artificial intelligence revolution. Looking through the lens of economics, a financial analyst can see the same exact turnings. Each of the four turnings leaves a fingerprint on our economy's balance sheet, a measurable, reproducible financial signature. Lay the hard numbers over the historical wheel and the pattern snaps into focus with the precision of a crystal lattice. Here are the four most recent turnings. If you live through these periods, you'll recognize the incredible accuracy of these economic signatures. The high, 1946 to 1964, under the Bretton Woods system ratified in 1944, the US dollar was convertible to gold at $35 an ounce and every other major currency was pegged to the dollar. Federal debt held by the public fell from 106% of GDP in 1946 to under 40% by the early 1960s. The federal budgets ran close to being balanced. Inflation averaged roughly 2%. The economy was stable, predictable, and fair. Productivity and real wages rose in near-perfect lockstep. The middle class doubled in size. The Dow-to-Gold ratio, a pure measure of financial wealth priced in unmanipulable terms, climbed from roughly 2 to 1 in 1946 to 28 to 1 at the 1966 peak. America was ascendant and our prosperity was manifest. But it only lasted about one generation, because the wheel must turn. The awakening, 1964 to 1984. On Sunday evening, August 15, 1971, Richard Nixon went on national television and announced that the United States would temporarily suspend the convertibility of the dollar into gold. The temporary suspension has now lasted 55 years. The moment was epochal. From that day forward, the world's reserve currency was backed by nothing but our government's ability to tax. Inflation, which had averaged 1.3% in the 1950s, exploded to 11.0% in 1974, 13.5% in 1980, and destroyed a decade of savings, virtually overnight. America's prosperity was being destroyed in ways most Americans didn't understand. But if you knew where to look, the damage was obvious. Our economy was no longer fair. The paper money system sent all the wealth being created into the owners of the assets. The workers? They gained virtually nothing in real terms. Even though the economy kept growing and productivity kept rising, real hourly compensation for the typical worker stopped moving higher. The data is unambiguous. From 1948 through 1971, pay and productivity moved together. From 1971 onward, they diverged, and they have never reunited. By the Federal Reserve's own purchasing power index, the dollar has lost more than 90% of its value since Nixon repudiated the government's promise to redeem dollars for gold. The unraveling, 1984 to 2008, no one noticed these incredible changes to our economy and to our society because asset owners were making so much money. President Ronald Reagan cut taxes, the Cold War ended, and the value of financial assets soared. The Dow-to-Gold ratio rocketed to its all-time peak of roughly 43 to 1 in August 1999. But was this genuine prosperity? Or was this actually a sign of our economy slowly being destroyed, along with our way of life, our values, and our families? Beneath the surface, the foundation was collapsing. Federal debt as a share of GDP began a relentless climb. Entitlements metastasized. Graft and fraud proliferated. And then, in 1999 to 2000, came the most important but least noticed inflection point in post-war financial history, when priced in gold, real, unprintable money, American stocks peaked and began a long, grinding bear market that has not ended to this day. The Dow-to-Gold ratio has fallen from 43-1 in 1999 to approximately 10-1 in April 2026, a 77% collapse of real equity wealth over 26 years. Even though this collapse is virtually invisible to most people, it is real and portends a massive crisis. The crisis. In September 2008, the crisis period began. Private credit, mostly mortgages, reached the breaking point. What had looked like wealth for decades was revealed as nothing more than a financial miasma. Mortgage defaults soured and housing prices collapsed. For most of America's middle class, the myth of prosperity has been permanently destroyed. The only thing that survived was the government, and only because it can print money. Our money supply, M2, has grown from roughly $8 trillion in 2008 to $22.44 trillion, a 180% increase in the currency supply in 17 years. Federal debt has erupted to almost $40 trillion. Debt to GDP has crossed 120%, shattering the 1946 record that had stood for 80 years. Net interest on the national debt has passed $1 trillion annually, larger than the entire defense budget, and nearly triple what it was just 5 years ago. This is not a cyclical downturn. This is the final storm. The only path forward is a complete financial reset. Four turnings, four financial signatures, replicating across cycula, 21-year periods, going back to the Plantagenets. Priced in sound money, American prosperity is a sine wave, and it's about to hit bottom. Next week, I will detail what hitting bottom looks like and how it will play out over the next few years. Hint, it's not pretty. Tell me what you think. Good, bad, or indifferent. PorterStansberryDirect@gmail.com. Good investing, Porter Stansberry Stevenson, Maryland. Three things to know before we go. 1. Government subsidies drive prices higher, and competition brings them down. Since 1999, health insurance premiums are up 342%, while worker earnings rose just 119%. College tuition is up 1,250% since 1980. Both sectors share the same formula: massive government subsidies and regulatory moats blocking competition. Meanwhile, the price of a television has fallen 99.4% since 1950. Computer prices dropped 96% between 1997 and 2015. The pattern is clear. Every dollar of subsidy becomes a correlated price increase, because it removes the one force that actually lowers prices, the threat of losing the customer. 2. Stocks soar as Iran reopens the Strait of Hormuz. Iran declared the strait completely open to commercial vessels this morning following a temporary ceasefire between Israel and Lebanon. Oil and energy stocks sold off as the broad markets rallied. However, risks remain, with President Trump saying the U.S. blockade of Iranian ports will stay in full force until a broader peace deal is signed, and Tehran's deputy foreign minister noting that any permanent resolution must include all conflict zones from Lebanon to the Red Sea. 3. U.S. LNG demand is a structural story, not a geopolitical one. Complete investor recommendation Venture Global, VG, was among the biggest decliners today following reports of a possible Iran resolution. But the U.S. Energy Information Administration's, EIA, latest short-term energy outlook highlights the more important story. U.S. net natural gas exports will grow nearly 30% by 2027, driven by five new liquefied natural gas, LNG, export facilities coming online, and the Iran-driven disruptions in the Strait of Hormuz, which have knocked out over 10% of global LNG supply, only accelerate global demand for U.S. supplies. Venture Global is positioned at the center of a permanent structural shift in global energy trade. Chart of the day. Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Porter's permanent portfolio holding, Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing, TSM, posted a record quarter. Net income surged 58% year-over-year, beating estimates, the fourth consecutive quarterly profit record, driven by insatiable AI chip demand. In management's words, supply is very tight. Shares are up 142% over the past year. Mailbag yesterday, Tech Frontiers editor Erez Kalir detailed the consequences of Elon Musk's lawsuit against OpenAI, which Erez described as the trial of the century. Readers replied, "Wouldn't be surprised if OpenAI implodes by end of the year." Sherwin R. writes, "Hi, Erez, I found your article to be fascinating. I have no love for Elon Musk, but I would say that he has at least a colorable claim here. I'm sure that Porter knows that his friend Whitney Tilson has been saying for some time that he wouldn't be surprised if OpenAI implodes by the end of the year, and this could certainly be a contributing factor on top of its burn rate." Great alert on OpenAI. Kevin L. writes, "Porter, great alert on OpenAI. This is just part of why your service is so valuable. Nobody else is talking about this, and it's a good early warning. Maybe I'll buy a few speculative puts on Microsoft about 3 to 4 months out. However, as an early investor in Anthropic, I am still trying to process this. As OpenAI's main competitor, it could help Anthropic, but if the AI sector blows up, maybe even Anthropic will be affected. Not much I can do anyway, as I have to wait for the IPO, and probably a 6 or 9 month lockup from the IPO day. Another concern for OpenAI is that the jury will be seated in Oakland, California, one of the more regressive cities. I refuse to use the progressive term, because they are anything but that, in the US and they don't like big business or the mention of profits. And on Wednesday, Porter highlighted the financial and crime-ridden disaster that is New York City compared to the nation of El Salvador, where the president has gotten crime under control. Terrifying report about NYC. Carlos B. writes, "What a wonderfully eloquent as well as terrifying report about NYC, but also inspiring about El Salvador, where we recently traveled to. Scary what is looming for the greatest country in history, full of idiots who have no idea of what they are losing." Machiavelli was right, and paraphrasing him regarding the new zombies, they deserve what they have coming to them. Thank you, Porter, and good for you that you are moving to greener pastures. Please note, the investments in our Porter & Company top positions should not be considered current recommendations. These positions are the best performers across our publications, and the securities listed may or may not be above the current buy-up to price. To learn more, visit the current recommendations page of the relevant service, here. To gain access or to learn more about our current recommendations, call our customer care team at 888-610-8895 or internationally at +1-443-815-4447. Thank you for being a paid subscriber to Porter & Company. We hope you enjoyed this audio issue.